Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivardhari Balabha Gopi jana balabha girivardhari Yasoda nandana braja janarandana Yasoda nandana braja janarandana Yamuna tiravana chani Yamuna tiravana chani Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kunja Bihari Gopi jana balabha girivardhari girivardhari Gopi jana balabha girivardhari Yasoda nandana braja janarandana Yasoda nandana braja janarandana Yamuna tiravana chadi Yamuna tiravana chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajagacharya Astatarati Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Kosi Vaishnavrinda Ki Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Pemanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We'll recite together text 18. There's a whole series of verses before that with no purport. Tadraktena Nadim Goram. Abramanya Bhayavaham. Etum Kritva Patri Vadham. Kshatre Mangala Kadani. Tat Raktena Nadim Goram. Abramanya Bhayavaham. Etum Kritva Patri Vadham. Kshatre Mangala Kadani. Tadraktena Nadim Goram. Abramanya Bhayavaham. Etum Kritva Patri Vadham. Kshatre Mangala Kadani. Tatraktena Dadim Goram. Abramanya Bhayavaham. Hetum Kritva Patri Vadham. Kshatre Mangala Kadani. Tatraktena Dadim Goram. Abramanya Bhayavaham. Etum Kritva Patri Vadham. Kshatre Mangala Kadani. Tadraktena Nadim Goram. Abramanya Bhayavaham. Aitam Kritva Patri Vadham. Kshatri Mangala Kadani. Tat Raktena. By the blood of the sons of Kartavirya-arjuna, Nadim, a river, Goram, fierce, Abramanya Bhaya Avaham, causing fear to the kings who had no respect for Brahminical culture. Hetum, cause, Kritva, accepting, Pitri Vadham, the killing of his father. Kshatre, when the whole royal class. Amangala Kadani was acting very inauspiciously. So there's a second verse, text 19. What I'm going to do is go back to where we ended yesterday, or you all ended yesterday. Let's start with text 10 and just read the translations. Once, when Parashuram left the ashram for the forest with Vasuman and his other brothers, the sons of Kartavirya-arjuna took the opportunity to approach Jamadagni's residence to seek vengeance for their grudge the sons of Kartavirya-arjuna, were determined to commit sinful deeds. Therefore, when they saw Jamadagni sitting by the side of the fire to perform yajna and meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised by the best of selected prayers, they took the opportunity to kill him. With pitiable prayers, Renuka, the mother of Parashuram and the wife of Jamadagni, begged for the life of her husband, but the sons of Kartavirya-arjuna, being devoid of the qualities of Kshatriyas, were so cruel that despite her prayers, they forcibly cut off his head and took it away. Lamenting in grief for the death of her husband, the most chaste Renuka struck her own body with her hands and cried very loudly, "Oh, Rama, my dear son, Rama!" Although the sons of Jamadagni, including Lord Parashuram, were a long distance from home, as soon as they heard Renuka loudly calling, "Oh, Rama, oh, my son," they hastily returned to the ashram, where they saw their father already killed. Virtually bewildered by grief, anger, indignation, affliction, and lamentation, the sons of Jamadagni cried, "Oh, father, most religious, saintly person, you have left us and gone to the heavenly planets." Thus lamenting, Lord Parashuram entrusted his father's dead body to his brothers and personally took up his axe, having decided to put an end to all the Kshatriyas on the surface of the world. O king, Lord Parashuram then went to Mahishmati, which was already doomed by the sinful killing of a brahmana. In the midst of that city, he made a mountain of heads severed from the bodies of the sons of Kartavirya-arjuna. Then this morning's verse. Pretty bloody, huh? Tad raktena. With the blood of the bodies of these sons, Lord Parashuram created a ghastly river which brought great fear to the kings who had no respect for Brahminical culture. Because the Kshatriyas, men of power in government, were performing sinful activities, Lord Parashurama, on the plea of retaliating for the murder of his father, rid all the Kshatriyas from the face of the earth 21 times. Indeed, in the place known as Samanta Panchaka, he created 9 lakes filled with their blood. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Parashurama is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his Personality of Godhead's eternal mission is Pritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam, to protect the devotees and annihilate the miscreants, to kill all the sinful men, is one of the tasks of the incarnation of Godhead. Lord Parashuram killed all the Kshatriyas 21 times consecutively because they were disobedient to the Brahminical culture. That the Kshatriyas had killed his father was only a plea, semicolon. The real fact is that because the Kshatriyas, the ruling class, had become polluted, their position was inauspicious. Brahminical culture is enjoined in the Shastra, especially in Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvana maya shrishtam guna karma vibhagashaha. According to the laws of nature, whether at the time of Parashuram or the present, if the government becomes irresponsible and sinful, not caring for rabbinical culture, there will certainly be an incarnation of God, like Parashurama, to create a devastation by fire, famine, pestilence, or some other calamity. Whenever the government disrespects the supremacy of the personality of Godhead and fails to protect the institution of Varnashrama Dharma, it will certainly have to face such catastrophes as formerly brought about by Lord Parashuram. What are they doing out there? Mowing the lawn? Is the machine going to stop after some time? Yes? Eventually, right? Okay. So Lord Parashurama, this whole section about his life and important amongst the forms of the Lord, an important incarnation, just like we have up here above the entrance and exit of the temple, there's those nice illustrations of the Dasavatar. Parashuram is one of those. Bhrigupati Rupa is in the verse glorifying him because he appeared in the descendancy of Bhrigupati. And he has the right. He has not only the power, he has the right to do things that others may not have the privilege or the right to do. A nice example of this is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, his brother Anupam, was killed by a one yaksha, and Dhruva went on this revenge to annihilate all yakshas, and he was doing it, but he was checked by higher authority, and so he stopped. Because, you know, in that discussion, in that section of the Bhagavatam, he had the right as king, according to the laws of Manu, to punish by death penalty the murderer. But he didn't have the right to punish all the yakshas and specifically to kill them all. He had the power to do that, but he was checked. And another example is Maharaj Parikshit. When his when Maharaj Parikshit was killed, his son wanted to conduct a yajna that would kill all snakes, a sarpa yajna. And he arranged it in the... There's some interesting BBT art that shows snakes flying from the sky into the fire, and they're all being killed, and doesn't give the name, it just says devas and rishis came and told him, don't do this. Janamejaya, one mystical serpent killed your father, but you can't kill all serpents. They're creations of Lord Brahma, and you can't go against the order of nature. They're serpents. You can't kill them all. Stop. So he stopped. In contrast, here's Parashurama for something that, now there was, Kartavirya Arjuna had a lot of sons. And his many sons were part of this dastardly, sinful killing of a Brahmana act. You know, because you've been attending the classes, why they were in this retaliation mood, because Kartavirya Arjuna was killed by Parashuram. He was killed by Parashuram because he stole the Kamadhenu of his father and forcibly took the property of a Brahmana. And he's to be punished. And that was the act of Parashuram. And after killing Kartavirya Arjuna, who, by the way, was so powerful, Kartavirya Arjuna was so powerful that he easily overpowered Ravana. In Valmiki Ramayana is described, and also in the Bhagavatam. He tied him up with ropes, round and around and around and around and around, and brought him back to Mahishmati, and Kartavirya Arjuna was a prisoner. Excuse me, Ravana was a prisoner of Kartavirya Arjuna. He got released. There's detailed description, but he very powerful. Ravana couldn't stop him, but Parashuram could stop him and chopped off his head. So then the retaliation, we're going to get back, and they came sitting by the sacrificial fire, performing his yajna, mind fixed upon the personality of Godhead. They cut off Jamadagni's head. Horrific. And took the head. Against the appeal of Renuka, virtuous Brahmani. So this is what to speak. They're the mother and father, spiritually so qualified that they became the mother and father of an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and just cut off his head. Whoa. So he went, and not just, as we heard in the purport, not, you say, under the pretext of taking revenge against the Kshatriya class, there was a higher purpose, and the higher purpose was ridding the surface of the earth of kings who were opposed to Brahminical culture. As the verse says, Abrahmanya Bhayavaham. Abrahmanya is the Krishna's Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. But these kings were Abrahmanya. And Krishna's Brahmanya. And so the two don't go well together. Krishna took the appropriate action. Excuse me. Lord Parashurama took the appropriate action. And those who had killed his father, they were killed. But beyond that, it was his prerogative, as mentioned at the beginning. He had the power, he had the right, he had the capacity to take care of all the other kings on the surface of the earth. And forms of the Lord do this. When Krishna came, he not only eliminated Kamsa and Shishupal and Dantavakra, so many kings, demoniac kings, because he was particularly or specifically requested by Lord Brahma and Mother Earth and the demigods to relieve the burden of the earth of the demoniac kings. Or Lord Ramachandra, who was requested by the demigods headed by Lord Brahma to relieve the earth and the realm of the devas from the terrorism of Ravana, but he took the opportunity to deliver many others from their contamination of sinful life by the battle in Lanka. Many demoniac persons killed, and in the forest, the rakshasas, and so forth. Because that's part of his mission. And Parashuram, major part of his mission. The word parashu, it's in the word for word, means axe. So when we see him in his depiction, he's always holding the axe, parashu, as his weapon for annihilating the kings. Now, I've never heard a really clear and satisfying explanation that he rid the earth 21 times. I mean, you read the language of the purport, and he killed the kings. You can only kill somebody once. How can you kill somebody 21 times? But, you know, he traveled about, apparently, not clear, traveled about here and there, all over the world, and annihilated demoniac kings. In other references, it says those that fled for their life went here and there, and then the degraded kings became kings of other places, like Greece, a certain category of, and so forth and so on. So, and then they populated that place with their offspring and ruled in less than Krishna conscious or less than Vedic way. And so the world became ruled by those that somehow survived. Very interesting detail. One of the vows that Parashuram took is that he would not kill a king if that king was involved in a wedding ceremony. So according to Valmiki Ramayana, 350 times Parashuram came to Ayodhya, and each time to avoid combat with Ravana, he arranged a marriage. 350 marriages in addition to the three principal queens. So he had 353 queens, and that was the reason why. So while he was killing, there was some principles that he observed, not just ruthlessly killing. But so we're hearing in this such an important purport to understand why did he do this. It was to relieve the earth of the burden of those specifically who were opposed to Brahminical culture. And the word that's used is amangala karani. They were engaged in activities that were inauspicious. So, you know, more than inauspicious, they were sinful. But inauspicious in the sense that they're opposed to Brahminical culture. So powerful kings, powerful rulers, are obliged, what we're hearing in the purport is, they're obliged to be under the direction and guidance of brahmanas. And when that's not the case, then it's inauspicious, and that inauspiciousness results in calamity for them and their citizens. And when reading this purport, I was thinking, gee whiz, the Chinese government approved the printing of Srimad Bhagavatam without any change. And to do that, they had scholars reading the Bhaktivedanta purports. And so to read this from Chinese scholars, and they authorized it to be printed, it's very surprising. You read the language and very surprising. Because certainly without going into detail, Chinese government and many other governments of the world are not explicitly respectful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So pestilence, disease, famine, or an incarnation of the Lord with a chopper, or some way or another of checking such unqualified kings or leaders of the world. It leaves some question. I mean, the Parshuram going all over and killing kings 21 times for something that some other kings over there did, it's pretty fierce. But that's Parshuram. We don't say, hey, what's he doing? It's now for the third time, he has the problem. A privilege and the prerogative, and it could have been done some other way, and because he's a Lila avatar, however he wants, and he chose this way. So apparently there was necessity. And not so long after what he did, what he did, comes Lord Ramachandra. It's coming up in the upcoming chapters, very coming attractions. And Lord Parshuram meets Lord Ram. Very special, where two forms of the Supreme Lord have interaction. You'll cover that a little bit later. So any discussion on the verse for this morning? Subal.
Was doing his business there too, and it was kings like Janak, the kings of Kosala, the kings, Ravana was there. So there was the whole structure, but you know, it's also this is happening, Lord Parshuram killing tons of Kshatriyas. So you're just trying to understand which is always difficult, trying to understand the time frames of things, you know, of this events that happens, you know, within the story of the Ramayana and the Bhagavatam. How is it fit, you know, the, yeah.
I mean, implied in your question is, how did Janak survive? Because Parashuram was on a rampage and Janak was around. We heard how Dasarath survived Parashuram's rampage. How did it all fit together? I mean, here's a question that I don't have an answer to, similar. I mean, so I'm not a Puranic expert. The duration of life in Kali Yuga, maximum 100, Dwapara Yuga 1,000, Treta Yuga 10,000, and Satya Yuga 100,000. Dasarath ruled for 60,000, which by logic or inference, he started his rule in Satya Yuga, toward the end of Satya Yuga, that spilled over to the beginning of Treta Yuga. Otherwise, how could he live that long? That's a lot of time. And then what happened during that lots of time? And so I, you know, this is for a Puranic expert. I'm not a Puranic expert. And in what yuga, if that's the case, then that's the next question. In what yuga did Parashuram appear, the son of Jamadagni? And Ravana's life was also similarly vast, spanned over the, you know, long period of time. These are Puranic details. It's interesting, but not essential. Anything else?
What is the significance of, in the Bhagavatam, there's so many pastimes of kings and ruling society, so many pastimes of kings in the Bhagavatam.
Kings are the rulers. So, for good society, of course, you need all four divisions, but most important are the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. So there's lineage, and the Supreme Lord commonly would appear in either one or the other. Krishna was the exception. Nanda and Jasoda. But otherwise, Kshatriyas and Brahmanas, and good Brahmanas and good Kshatriyas are both essential for prosperous Vedic culture. And so they receive special prominence, the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas. Now, Parashurama was the son of a Brahmana, but he took up the behavior of a Kshatriya. No, but that's not specifically your question. Their duty is to give protection, and they do that. They're to give protection on behalf of the Supreme Lord who gives protection. So the Supreme Lord is not whimsical. When he creates, he doesn't, you know, walk away and let chaos prevail. There's order to that creation, and there are persons to meant by the Creator to uphold the creation, the orderliness of the creation. So the Brahmanas give the guidance and the Kshatriyas give the protection. They are very important. That's why they're spoken of again and again. The genealogy of both.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. We hear that Lord Chaitanya appears to kill the demoniac mentality of the people, because I think Prabhupada said the demons are really killing each other. So my question is that how to remain enthusiastic and be patient at the same time? Because when you're chanting Hare Krishna, it's like, Krishna, why aren't you taking my demoniac propensity the way you say you will? And so how to remain enthusiastic and patient at the same time, because they kind of seem contradictory.
And the third item, confidence. Bhakti process, I can be enthusiastic for. I can maintain patience because I have trust in Krishna. So that's how I can be, I have confidence in the bhakti process and confidence in Krishna. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in myself, but I have confidence in the bhakti process and confidence in Krishna. So I'm going to stay the course enthusiastically. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, additional subcategory of the response is, the only way to sustain enthusiasm or any other spiritual quality is by a spiritual conception. Without a spiritual conception, we won't. So with a spiritual conception, I'm covered. At the same time, my identity is I'm spirit soul, part of the Supreme Soul, Supreme Spirit. And the connection between myself and Him has been forgotten, but it's the bhakti connection. And so I'm going to practice bhakti with enthusiasm because it'll maintain the connection, and how swiftly I'm delivered, that's up to Krishna, not up to me. It's up to Krishna. He's the deliverer. So I can remain patient and enthusiastic because of conviction and confidence. Someone else?
Charanpad Swami mentioned that Lord Parshuram had delivered many of those kings that were functioning in an inauspicious way. So I just wanted to ask the deliverance of those personalities, it's in terms of destroying all the reactions to their sinful activities.
Are you asking because of the misbehavior of the father, and then in turn the misbehavior of the sons, does the karma go to everybody? Is that your question? The reaction to those sinful activities, is it spread to everybody? Is that your question?
I hadn't thought of it that broadly, but that's very nice. yeah, the question is that delivering from sinful reaction, I guess you've taken it further. Thank you, Sharon,
but
it's fine.
Killed by Parashuram doesn't say the citizens, it was kings. Here and there and everywhere, kings. So they weren't specifically from Mahishmati, from that capital of Kartavirya-arjuna. But, you know, let's say in the world, then or today, in principle. If there's this ruler that does demoniac things, then or today, do other rulers share in the response, the karmic responsibility of what this bad, sinful ruler does? Although they're not under the rule of them, are they sharing in that responsibility? I don't know the answer to that. Certainly, the atmosphere becomes contaminated by the sin of a terrible person. But then, let's say, you know, take some of the villains of our modern time, Hitler and Stalin, at least they're portrayed in that way. So did the other rulers on earth bear the burden of the sin? Well, it depends on if they were complicit or they were administering justice. Now, did the world suffer because of that? Yeah. Subal?
Guru Maharaj, I was thinking on Srila Prabhupada ends the purport quoting that when governments are disrespectful to Brahminical culture and Vanashram, then the Lord appears also in the form of famine, catastrophes, disasters, fire. We see that, you know, these type of catastrophes are becoming increasingly more present nowadays. I was just thinking, that's obvious, you know, just by the type of rulers that are now. But then you see situations like in Puerto Rico, for example, in which, you know, the devotees, the temples, you know, also suffer the brunt of this whole thing. So how do you explain things like that, that not only touches, you know, the sinful or those who are in that culture that is disregarding Brahminical, but also, you know, devotees too?
Well, devotees, in principle, bhakti neutralizes prarabdha karma. So what they were experiencing was not prarabdha karma. What they were experiencing was they're in the midst of those who are experiencing prarabdha karma. And then it gives them, the devotees in Puerto Rico, an opportunity to serve Krishna in a different way. And the devotees here and there around the world who serve the devotees in Puerto Rico in a different way. And it's aside from Puerto Rico and the hurricane damage, what about, you know, living in Chicago? And the history of brutal animal slaughter in the city of Chicago. The history, you're aware. And then other, Al Capone, and other vicious criminal activity. You know, it's a city of crime. And today are the devotees bearing the, you know, the difficulty of that? For sure. For sure. We can, you know, name incidents or whatever, just without detailing. So now, for us that are living in Chicago or the devotees living in Puerto Rico, it's not prarabdha karma. It's something else. It's an opportunity to serve Krishna in a particular way. That's how they see it, and that's how they live their lives. and how we should live our lives. We are not responsible karmically for the animal slaughter that went on for so long in the stockyards in Chicago, and the Al Capone behaviors and whatever else goes on that's awful. We're not karmically tied to that. We're here for a different purpose. And so we deal with the duality that's created around us by those activities. Anyway. Something else? Yes. Krunanidhi?
Maharaj, I was thinking that recently what happened in Texas, that in a church people were worshipping, they were in prayer. One man came and he killed even pregnant ladies and children and with seniors. So ghastly, everything he did. So here Parshuram was punishing, Lord Parshuram was punishing just to protect Brahminical culture. So that person, he himself died, he shot himself. So that means how he will get punished? So is it even after his death, how will he be punished?
Said he's speaking about in Texas there is a shooting in a church.
In Texas, a shooting in
the
church.
Yeah, and saying since this person is not protecting Brahminical culture like Lord Parashuram in this pastime, he killed innocent children and church people. So, and then he killed himself. And then he killed himself after. So he's wondering how he'll be punished in the future.
Who can say? I mean, minimally, hell, for who knows how many durations, what duration, and because of suicide, ghost. So, in some combination of those, just in principle. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki.